I want to just read this scripture to you so that as I was reading in my daily devotional Bible, and this picture just is so clear as you read it, but when you read Isaiah chapter 50, the Lord has been talking. There's some that is prophetic of Jesus, things that are said of Jesus, and then things that Jesus says. And, you know, as you're reading it, you're thinking, you know, you have to allow yourself to be in awe of the fact that this stuff that we now know what it was, Isaiah was writing hundreds of years before Christ was ever born. Not only that, but David, you know, in his Psalms, he was writing about things that you have to wonder if he knew exactly what he was writing or not. Or if they were writing simply what the Lord said, because we know that Scripture tells us that these are things that the prophets longed to look into. So, you know, what understanding they had, I don't know. But it's exciting to take what we know now and to remember what they knew then. And yet they were writing these things. And Isaiah 49 ends up saying, "All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Now, to them, that was so important, the Mighty One of Jacob, because they knew about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew that he was the God that did the amazing things that God did. Then, today I was thinking about, you know, that age-old question of where did God come from? And, well, Scripture answers that. It says, well, first of all, you just have to believe that he is. There wasn't anything before him. With him, everything began. So he was before time. And thus says the Lord in Isaiah 50, "Where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? For which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? I didn't sell you. It was for your iniquities that you have sold yourselves." We sometimes, even after we know Jesus, we sell ourselves. We give ourselves away. We forget him. We get wrapped up in us, and we sell ourselves down the river. We sell ourselves into trials and tribulations, really. Well, God says, "Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver?" Isaiah wrote this, but it's us too, isn't it? Sometimes we need to stop and say, wait a minute, did God's hand get short? Is he not bigger than this? Is he not able to deliver? Well, we may answer that rightly, but then we begin to look at it from a time standpoint. See, we live in time. God doesn't. He knows about time. But time doesn't trouble him. What goes on from this point to this point, he was there before this point and he will be there after that point. With him, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. In other words, time just is insignificant. My son had written me today after I sent out a text that said Brexton was off the respirator, and he asked me, well, how's his brain? I said, improving, I believe. And he said, I believe as in I believe or as in I think? And I said, well, I believe because believing is better than thinking. He said, yes, but there's a time element involved. And I said, you can't get caught up in time. Now, he and I were thinking two different things in that, but there were a lot of things that came into my thought about, because, you know, I know what God will do, so I don't worry about what he hasn't done in some things. Now, not in all things, but I'm getting there. I want to get there to where I can have the same attitude about time that God does. That's why God can say, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving, and then let the peace of God keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. As we were singing, I keep falling in love with Jesus, I was thinking about the fact, you know, I mean, I had some verses going through my mind, just some things about, you know, what should I do when things distract me? I think I'll just fall in love with Jesus. Think on him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the cares of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Those aren't just words. Those are the way things are. And so anyway, God's telling them that his hand isn't short. And then there's some more things about Jesus. And then in verse 7, he says, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. This can be your confession and my confession. The Lord will help me. I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be ashamed. This that we are talking about with standing up straight on your feet, with continuing on, with holding fast to our faith, with standing on different truths, standing on the foundation, first of all, and then with the foundation, then we have the confidence to continue to stand. And we can say, along with this, that, hey, I know that I will not be ashamed. The Lord will not disappoint me. I honestly have never, in almost 26 years now, I've never been disappointed in God. Never. I have not been angry with God. I have not blamed God. I may have been angry with other things, and I may have blamed other things, but God was never even a consideration that he fell down on the job somewhere. I'm thankful for that. I don't know how to relate when people say that they're mad at God, because I'm not sure I don't know how to be mad at God. Because I don't think he can do anything wrong, so how could I be mad at him? Now that's just me. I know there's a lot of people. There's people that are been with the Lord a lot longer than I have said that they were just angry with God, and it's okay to get angry with God. And I just tell God, you know, they tell God off, and I don't have, you know, I don't claim to be the brightest bulb on the tree, okay? But I'm smart enough to not try to tell somebody off that knows more than I do. I'm not going to go and try to tell Vicky how to manipulate the pictures on her computer. I'm not even going to make a suggestion. I'm not going to tell John how to focus a lens on a camera. I'm not going to make a suggestion. I don't know any comparison to that. So then how in the world can I get mad at God and tell him he's doing something wrong? He is near who justifies me. God is near. Now he doesn't justify me so that whatever I do looks good. He doesn't justify me doing wrong. But he who makes me just, he who makes me right, he who can correct me, he who can put me in the right frame of mind, in the right place, the right attitude, with the right understanding, he's near. I just need to look to him. So, because if I have that confidence, who can contend with me? See, this is the confidence we can have, so that no one can contend with us. And when we don't have to defend ourselves, we don't have to defend ourselves. Do you understand? When we know that God is for us, and that no one can really contend with us, we don't need to defend ourselves. It's when we become defensive that problems happen, isn't it? But when I don't need to defend myself, I don't need to defend myself. That will make some people angry, but that's okay. We don't have to defend ourselves. Surely the Lord will help me. Let's stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord will help me. The Lord will help us no matter what. Our adversary may take on flesh and bones, but the real adversary is not. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? So let him come near me. Surely the Lord will help me. Now, verse 10 says, who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys his voice? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and he has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Here's your answer. Trust in the Lord. Rely on God. Seems so simple. Such a pat answer. Such a Christian thing. But it's the only answer that's really necessary. Everything else can grow up from that. But how about we just trust the name of the Lord and rely on his God? Now he says, okay, look, all of you who kindle a fire, all of you who encircle yourselves with sparks, that walk in the light of your own fire and in the sparks that you have kindled, this you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. When we're walking in our own wisdom, before we came to the Lord, before we came to know the Lord, we did not know we were in torment, but we were, because we were walking in our own light, walking in our own thinking, walking in our own way. It's my way. I want my way, my way, my way, my way. And when we get that way, it becomes a torment. Little children who allowed to just get away with my way, my way, my way, my way, they become tormented, and they torment everyone around them, don't they? If we just allow that, then not only do they become a torment, but they torment those around them. Okay, so when we choose to walk in our own light and we cause God to back away, what happens? We become in torment. When you are tormented, what do you do in return? You're a tormentor then, aren't you? Well, see, before Christ, people don't even recognize it. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what people get, they're never satisfied, are they? You know, why else would we have the type of scandals that we have? You know, people with, how does somebody with more money than they can spend rob people of billions more dollars? They're tormented. They had, and the torment will sneak up on them, and then all of a sudden they'll realize they're in torment, and then they're so prideful that they can't get out of the torment. They can't just acknowledge it. It's me, it's me. I've sold myself into torment. And so then they just go on along with that. And then they justify themselves. You see, if we allow God to be our justifier, God will square us away. It may be painful. That's why some people don't want to get saved, because the first thing that they have to do is acknowledge that they sin. They have to ask for forgiveness. Some people are just too proud to do that. They want to sit in their torment instead of just asking for forgiveness. Well, we come to know the Lord, and guess what? We sometimes do the same thing, don't we? And so we're tormented. If we know what's right and we don't do it, we're tormented, aren't we? When the light comes on, when the truth comes on, and we're tormented. Well, he says, if you keep walking in your own light and in your own ways and in your own will and in your own stubborn things, then this is what you'll end up with, torment. And the thing I loved was, is in my daily Bible, it ended, "This is what you will receive as torment." And then Psalm 112 followed it and said, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord." What a contrast. You want to walk in your own light. You want to have it your own way. You want to do whatever you want to do. Ah, you're so tormented. But oh, that man that fears the Lord, he's blessed. The one who delights greatly in God's commandments. The one that says, "Oh, how I love your word, Lord. Oh, how I love your word." Now, it's a book. If that's all you see it as, is a book. If you say to somebody who only understands that the Bible is a book, and you say, "Oh, how I love the Word," they say, "What's in it?" Life. Life. Because it speaks. It speaks to us. It says, "That one who fears the Lord, his descendants will be mighty in the earth." Well, now I don't have to worry about my children anymore. Right? My part is to fear, honor, love, adore the Lord. He'll take care of it. Better than I can. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Praise God, who makes us upright? Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. We have been imputed with righteousness. I'm upright. I'm a generation of the upright. I'm a generation of the promise. You know, we can make ourselves happy telling ourselves the truth, can't we? Casting down the lies, lifting up the truth, and tell the truth till the day star shines on our hearts and we go, that feels better. Wealth and riches will be in his house. Must be something good about that. Wealth and riches. We need wealth and riches. If we're going to spread the wealth around, you got to have something to spread. Don't want anybody else spreading it for me. I'd like to spread it myself. And his righteousness endures forever. That rightness with God endures forever. Rightness with God. That's what righteousness is. It's rightness. It's being right with God. It endures forever. Everything else, grass withers, flower fades, but rightness with God will endure forever. It will endure through all things. It will overcome all things. It will blow holes in all things. Because that's what God says. So, under the upright, there arises light in the darkness, okay? There are still going to be dark times, dark places, because Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulation. As long as we're in this world, there's going to be some dark places, but what do? When we get into a dark place, we look for the light, right? Because that's what the word says. It says that the light will arise in the dark places. You know, sometimes you can see the light best in the darkness. You appreciate the light more in the darkness, actually. In the light, you don't think too much about the light, but in the darkness, that light's sweet to have, isn't it? This does not mean that we can't appreciate the light in the light. It means that we should appreciate the light in the light, but we certainly need not fear the darkness because the light's coming on. Something good and excellent is coming on. He's gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. This person that fears the Lord is gracious, full of compassion and righteousness. Again, full of that rightness with God. Now, we want all of those things that are promised to those that fear the Lord. We want those. But now, we've always got to consider, what are we going to do with them when we get them? Why does God want us to have them? Does he want us to have them just so we can have a good life? Yes, but not just so, right? He wants us to have them so that that graciousness and that compassion will then be poured out on the world. What the Lord has given us is an opportunity. An opportunity to shine. That's what salvation does for us. It gives us a life full of opportunity. People talk about opportunities all the time and opportunity knocking, and in this world some people just get more opportunities than others, and opportunity is a nice word, but the thing is that the only opportunities that are really fruitful and lasting are opportunities that God gives. We have this opportunity. We bear these treasures in earthen vessels because we have the opportunity. He's given us an opportunity to shine, to let our light so shine before men that they behold our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. So that what God puts into us is so obviously God that when people see it, they say, it must be God. Now, there were many people when Jesus walked the earth that said, we know you've got to be sent from God. How else would you do these things? Now see, if we stop short of taking those opportunities, now then what happens is what God has shined into us, we suddenly turn into our own light. This is for me. This is all about me. Everything's about me. Everything's about my prayers. Everything's about God doing what I want. And if God doesn't do what I want, now I'm going to get mad at God. And now I'm going to feel like God failed me. And now what's happened then? We're in our own light and what are we getting? Torment. We're tormented. Many Christians are tormented because they don't think that their faith is working, that God is hearing them, that God is answering. And so, That's a hard thing to be tormented about. Because if the very thing that has set us free becomes a torment to us, well, that's how people turn away. That's how people quit. Because what was their hope has turned into their torment. And that's a lie of the devil. That's a deceiver. I heard a man today, just a little video thing of a guy talking about that the Lord had shown him a picture of like two vines and demons lined up along those vines, and he was praying and he could see that those demons were knocked back, but their little feet were hooked into these vines, and he couldn't figure out why in the world, you know, what those two vines were. And the guy said that the Lord showed him that the two vines were two main demons. Inferiority and insecurity. And that those two things were at the root of everything else that Satan does. Because he attacks people's security and makes them feel inferior. When people feel inferior, they want to fight. You know? That's why they talk about little people with chips on their shoulders, you know? I was all the time pulling my little cousins, Mike and Pat, out of... They were just in people's faces wanting to get in a fight when they were drunk. And I'd pluck them up and pull them out. I mean, they weighed 90 pounds and they were 4'9" tall. But, you know, because there's that chip on the shoulder and the insecurity. Well, Christians, we have the Word of God. And when we are standing on the Word of God, we are not inferior. But if something attacks that foundation, if something knocks us off of the truth, and it was our security, now we're not secure anymore. And when we're not secure anymore, we're not so sure anymore. And when we're insecure and we're not sure, now we can be made to feel inferior. So then comes in that battle, and it makes perfect sense. And that's why he who justifies us is near. He who builds us up is near. We are more than conquerors. We're not inferior. And with God on our side, he is near me. He will most certainly help me. I have no reason to be insecure. But I don't have to be confident in me. I'm confident in him who helps me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. When we keep it about him, then we don't worry about anything. We pray about everything, and we let a request be made known to God, and we say thank you. And we've got that confidence, and with that confidence, we then look like treasures in earthen vessels. The compassion and the graciousness and the righteousness or the uprightness shines. And that's why God put it into us. Remember, the original blessing to Abraham was, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. It's important for us as Christians to come into the blessing, receptive of the blessing, expecting of the blessing for one purpose and one purpose only, that we might be a blessing. Now, if our desire is to be blessed so that we can be a blessing, we've opened up the door for the whole thing to flow. But if we stop short of that, and I just want to be blessed, and I just want my prayers answered, and I just want my way. Well, Sunday we talked about the answer to that kind of thinking. Straighten up. Straighten up. Get back on the right track. And I believe that God is going to take us on the right track so that we are continually coming out of torment into triumph. So we recognize torment. You know, sometimes people are tormented and they don't know that they're tormented. I'm reminded of James Robinson's testimony where he talks about, you know, he was a big time preacher, everything going real good for him. And some guy that was the carpet cleaner in the ministry comes up to him and says, I feel so sorry for you. You are so tormented. You see, the guy recognized that he was tormented. He didn't realize that he was tormented. He knew something was bothering him, but he didn't see it as a torment. If we see it as a torment, then we realize, where does torment come from? It comes from the tormentor. What have we done to sell ourselves to the tormentor? What have we done to open the door for the tormentor? Now, the good news is, it really doesn't matter. Because he who justifies us is always ready to help us. And so all we need to do is confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. And we come right out of torment into triumph. Boom. Just like that. Just that quickly. Because once again, you see, we are limited by time. But God's not. It doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out process. I'm convinced that sometimes religious people get the idea, well, this has got to be a process, and they cause people to process for so long that the people end up being sold back into torment. I told people, God instantaneously delivered me from any desire for drugs or alcohol. Now, to be honest with you, I never would have thought that I had a need for it. I just didn't. But if I gave my statistics to people who know about those things, they would tell me that I probably still am not okay. Because if I didn't have any help with that, then it was probably still lying there. But I was just too foolish to notice it. No, I was foolish beforehand. But when the Lord did his thing, it was over. Strangest thing. But the looks you get from people when you say that are pretty strange sometimes. Because they've been so conditioned to think, well, it's just going to take time. Well, what's time and who cares about time? Compared to God, what is time? If we let time torment us, if we let the time between the time that we pray and the time that we see the manifestation torment us, are we going to spend more time rejoicing or tormented? Sometimes we're going to spend a lot of time tormented. We don't want that. We want to go from torment to triumph. And I believe it's just as quick as reading from one verse to the next. Going from, you want to walk in your own ways, you're going to walk in torment. But oh, he who trusts in the Lord, he's going to have great things going on. So, hey, sometimes we just need to acknowledge, you know something? I think I've been making my own sparks. I think I've been dancing in my own flames. This could be where the torment's coming from. Time to trust the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord. His descendants will be mighty in the earth. He'll have wealth and riches in his house. A light will rise in darkness. And I'll be full of grace and compassion and righteousness. And I'll do what God has called me to do. What he's given me the opportunity to be, I will be. That's what we want to do, isn't it? Take full advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. And when we're doing that, we're in triumph. And torment has no place in our lives. Ah, that we would quickly overcome any moments of torment and move immediately into triumph. Because we all like triumph much better than torment, don't we? Lord, I thank you that your word shows us the way. I thank you, Lord, that when we were tormented without you, Jesus came and led us in triumph and gave us a victory. And that victory was peace. Not as the world gives, but peace that Jesus leaves with us. And in Jesus' peace, there is no torment. And in Christ, there is no torment. And in our lives, trusting in God, there is no torment. For the moment that it comes, the light comes on in the darkness. And we are lifted up. And we just lift our hands to praise you and thank you, Lord. For Christ, who always leads us in triumph. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.